I'm Marianne Kolbasek McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Chris Hine, who is Google Public Sector's Field Chief Technology Officer. We're going to be discussing a collaboration between NASA and Google Public Sector involving an AI-powered clinical decision support system called Crew Medical Officer Digital Assistant, which is designed to assist astronauts with advanced diagnosis and treatment during a new generation of manned spaceflight. So, Chris, tell us about this new Crew Medical Officer Digital Assistant. What is it meant to do, and how is it going to be used?
Absolutely. This has been such an exciting project for us to work with NASA on, because what it really is we're looking at how can these large language models really be assistive for NASA's upcoming mission space. And so we've been working with NASA for a couple of years now, discussing all the different ways that artificial intelligence could help them with their missions. And this latest effort, which creates this digital assistant on the medical front, is really intended to start to look at, we've seen, and many others that are researching large language models are seeing really good results in being able to, fine-tune these models on medical specific diagnostics. And so that's really giving the model a little bit more understanding around, the medical technology and a little bit of diagnostic care. And so the theory that we've been working on with NASA on with this particular pilot is there are going to be a lot of times where, astronauts are going to be, disconnected or far away from the ability to do, live sessions or diagnostic sessions with doctors here on Earth. And so what if we can take some of the intelligence and the know-how that, you get from a doctor and embed that into the models and then make that so they can live in that kind of disconnected environment on a spaceship. And so giving them kind of that ability to do this work and have kind of a almost like a doctor in a box that can come with them wherever they happen to go and bring that level of expertise with the astronauts, on their future mission space. And so it's been a really exciting and interesting project.
Chris, please describe the AI system that's behind this tool. What sort of information and sources are driving this tool?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a tuned language model that is basically taking in over 150 different data sources that, NASA had available to them and a lot that are also in the public domain that we could then use to kind of refine a base model so that it can be a lot more, specifically built out for the medical community. And so what's great about what we've been able to do with them so far is that, we can do this kind of tuning work inside of Google Cloud on our HIPAA compliant platform that allowed them to really kind of experiment and test and also include data sources that might have medically sensitive information in them. And then they'll obviously need to then deploy that to an edge device that can be disconnected from the cloud environment that it was trained on. But that ability to do some of that training and use a bunch of those internal data sets that they've got access to was key for the success of this mission.
So, what kinds of health issues might this help the astronauts with? For instance, is it tapping into medical databases, their own, individual astronaut health records or literature or medical research that involves the types of health issues that astronauts might face during space flights that aren't typically seen on Earth?
Yeah, absolutely. So this system is actually trained on, kind of 250 of the most common medical issues that are like encountered in low or zero gravity, right? And so that's something that obviously you don't need as much of for folks that are here on Earth. And so it is trained and specifically tuned for those common medical issues, right? So that it's going to be able to diagnose those a little bit better and give people better care, knowing that they're in this kind of extreme environment. And so working with NASA and the data that they already had that kind of was anonymized so that there was no privacy concerns, it allowed them to really kind of be able to tune this with our help to create a really efficient model around space care.
So would there be any type of potential use of this AI tool for astronauts or other NASA workers who are not in space, such as those in training on Earth or those in training simulators or those that just don't do that kind of work, but they still work for NASA?
Yeah, I mean, I think what this proves out is that there's a wide variety of use cases that this is going to assist with, right? This was one pilot that was really just important for us to prove out that you could embed some of this intelligence specific to the domain area and then have that disconnected. But, you know, this is something that we see across all sorts of different simulations that they're going to be able to do with a model as part of kind of the onboard staff, so to speak. And so this idea of digital assistance can go broader than that. And so I do think this will be something that NASA can use inside their simulations. They can make sure that they're really training their staff on how to use this and other digital assistants as part of that overall collaborative effort that they're doing. And then extending that, right? Like so often, you know, we see NASA being the leading edge of science, and what you can do in space is often something that then becomes what is commonplace in terms of the scientific community here on Earth. And so we also think that this helps prove some of the other ideas that have been posited already around being able to use AI for, you know, areas of healthcare that are disconnected or have low connectivity and maybe do not have expert in the field that they can bring them out to where they're at. So we think there's a lot that is going to be able to pull away from this as a exemplar of how this technology can work.
Would it be able to provide any sort of, you know, forward thinking sort of scenarios? Like, you know, for instance, would this tool be able to predict what the health or medical issues that could arise if a situation were to happen in space? You know, in other words, you know, this could happen and this could be the impact on, you know, a person's physical being. Maybe we should think of having, you know, these sorts of treatments or remedies available in case something happens.
I think that's a really interesting way to approach it. I think it would really combine what we're seeing with some of our, you know, like Google has published this kind of a concept of a co-scientist with artificial intelligence. And what that does is really very similar to what you're suggesting, which is it does this idea generation that then kind of looks through the different data sets that it has access to and makes kind of intelligent assumptions about what could be based on those data sets that you're having, right? Kind of these what if scenarios and playing those out inside the thinking process of these models. That's not what the, you know, what we've accomplished with NASA so far, but it's certainly something that is an interesting way to think about that. Is you take this tuned model that understands what the potential health risks are for astronauts, and then you add that kind of idea generation component to it. So certainly something in the pipeline, but not in this initial pilot.
And what about the potential for this tool to apply to other sorts of health applications for other situations, like, you know, military personnel who are, you know, out in battle or foreign country, different environment, any kind of application where you kind of apply the same idea, but it's more suited for those types of people, or maybe even the civilian population for that matter?
I think that's a really great way to think about it. You know, we have been working with multiple branches of the military, but this is a great example. And I think, you know, having NASA kind of weigh in and see that there's a ton of value for it for their disconnected environments, I think the same thing will absolutely be true, right? Because what you see there is probably a very similar methodology of taking kind of those, what are the, you know, the 250 most seen ailments or particular things that they should be watching out for, again, whether it's combat troops or civilians that are just in, you know, low resource zones where they're not going to have direct access to some of the expertise that they have here. You know, being able to take a multimodal model and bring that to with them, right? So if they do have, you know, an ultrasound scanner or something like that that can help to do some of the diagnostic testing, and then pass that data through these models and get real significant feedback from that in terms of, is this something that's dangerous now? Is this something that can be waited on, right? Like those types of real potentially life-saving pieces of advice that, again, can be validated by, via a doctor once you have some connectivity, but something that at least gets you some information right there at the start.
So for the use of this assistant, you know, in space by an astronaut, what would they see? Is it, you know, like a query-based sort of thing? I'm having these symptoms, or how do I address this problem I just noticed, or how does it work?
Yeah, so in the version that we built out for them as part of the pilot, it is both text and audio in, right? And so what that means is that it can act both as a chat bot in terms of being able to type in symptoms and kind of get some answers back out of that, as well as being able to interact with it through audio capabilities as well, right? So you can have an actual back and forth dialogue with the model out loud, right? So using your voice. So that's kind of your input output, as well as being able to attach and feed it some limited multimodalities. Again, this is something that this science is really moving quickly. And so now we're already seeing, you know, we've got a MedGemma model that Google has released that wasn't part of this pilot because the pilot predated when we came out with MedGemma, but there's no reason we wouldn't be able to retune based on the MedGemma model, which is more multimodal, right? Where you can give it all sorts of different pieces of medical information for it to be able to help on those diagnostic tool sets. So we do think that if NASA, you know, they're reviewing this in the next month in terms of what they want the next phase of this to look like for them. But there's a lot of really great advances already within the last couple of months that we think can make it so that it would be an even more interactive and easier experience for astronauts to work against.
So what is the status of this? Is it still sort of like a pilot program? Is it something that they plan on taking, you know, with them on a next space voyage, or what's the status?
Yeah, this is right now still in initial phases of pilot and proof of concept phase. And so they worked with us to get that pilot off the ground and really get it tested. And they have tested it with their own clinicians and doctors to ensure that it's getting high levels of accuracy. So that phase is done and they feel really good about the results there. They are then, as I mentioned, in the next month or so, looking into what they want to do from a next step perspective, right? Whether they're going to start to integrate the real-time data feeds from kind of some of their onboard medical devices, or whether there's some more data inputs that they want to evaluate as part of this. And so it's a really reusable architecture and program that we've built out for them, but they're going to decide, you know, what does that look like and what is the form factor in terms of the computing device on board that they're going to deploy to. So some of those are still decisions that NASA needs to weigh in on, but we do believe that we've proved out the fact that this capability would add tremendous value.
Finally, Chris, what are some of the potential data privacy or data security issues that could arise out of the use of this tool, and how are they being addressed?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we did with them was to ensure that they were using kind of our best in class compliance mechanisms on Google Cloud. And so, as I mentioned earlier on, that is a HIPAA compliant environment to ensure that any medical data is handled appropriately. We also can use these assured workloads so that basically, even if it needs to be in all sorts of compliance regimes, all the way up to ITAR, we have the ability to kind of do that training mechanism for them in a highly, highly secure and compliant environment. And then obviously, you know, should they decide to have this go into space with astronauts actually using it, they're going to be in a disconnected environment. And so all the data that they are accumulating and using is not susceptible to being leaked out in any way, shape, or form. But if they choose to retain that training information, you know, locally, they can make a new model from that into the future. But again, that would be all something that they would want to do inside of a fully compliant cloud that has the highest security protocols that you can put on it. So, you know, in terms of right now, we feel really good that there's not any significant issues that need to be addressed in that vein, but certainly something, you know, our advice to NASA is always to keep their eyes on that and use the best practices on how to ensure you're not having data leakage.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. I've been speaking to Chris Hine. I'm Marianne Kolbaczek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.